Hey, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. Hope everyone had a good weekend. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about versatility, the next need up in our Cavs series week over at Through the Sword. We're also going to touch on a little bit of Cavs news and notes that came out over the weekend. But Evan, before we do that, why don't you tell everyone about the title sponsor on today's show.
Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Rock Auto. At Rock Auto, you can find amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On Cavs sent you.
And with that, let's hop into it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving. He's gone. Xbox at him today. At the cue.
On the blow block. He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
The bottom. Away he goes. Locked up. Playoff winner.
Cleveland. This is for you.
All right, Evan. I know people may know from your tweets, you've had an interesting weekend. Are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm thankful I didn't get, like, actually mugged. But for those listening and those who don't check my Twitter, I was in the flats last night and I stayed overnight. And walking up to my car today, I was walking up to it and I'm like, oh, did I leave the window down? I'm like thinking to myself, shit, I left the window down. Because it rained a lot last night. So I'm thinking, like, great. My interior is like soaking wet, and I get closer and my window is smashed in, and whoever broke in stole my prescription glasses, an umbrella, and $2 worth of change, loose change I had sitting in my center console, which is what I told Cleveland police and my insurance provider today. But like I told Chris, I had a bit of a prepared statement. If you are a listener and you broke in and stole from my car, I hope you go deaf after this. And in a more dramatic sense, I'm not going to say what I originally wrote because it's like it got really dark all of a sudden. So we'll just leave it at that. I'm okay. All things considered, insurance will take care of the car. And my stuff's just not going to... I mean, my agent like chuckled saying like, yeah, you're not even going to touch your deductible on the stolen stuff. So how's your weekend going, bud?
You know, doing okay. You know, you're much more adventurous and going out in the world than me. I'm just like, I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to watch some
go films. Out in the world. I just went to somebody's place for a game night and we watched the Lakers game and then I fell asleep at like 11 o'clock. So
fair. I watched a lot of basketball, a lot of baseball as long as we have it. You know, been at least some fun stuff in that regard.
Goofed that the Indians are still playing. I would have thought they would have stopped, but oh well.
We will see. We'll see what happens with baseball. I have no idea.
Listen to Locked On Indians if you haven't yet, while you still can.
Yeah, please do.
They're not going away, but their season might be going away.
Yes, yeah. Please go support Jeff Ellis. The Indians also can't hit at all right now, which is tough. But
there's a little bit of
Cavs news against all odds. Like the Browns stuff, obviously, kind of has been the main crux of stuff. That's kind of been the David Njoku news has kind of been the main news that's kind of come up. Mm-hmm. But Cavs news over the weekend. Let's just start with the real quick one that we'll talk about very, very briefly. That's Ante Zizic. It was reported by Eurohoops or Eurohoop.net, and then NBC wrote it up, and then I've basically been told the same thing before, but I confirmed that this report's legit, and we knew he was going to leave anyway, and this has kind of been out there for a while, but he is asking to get out of his contract now so he can start preparing for the 2021 season with Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. There is still some reporting out there that he may be going to Maccabi Tel Aviv in Israel, and that was another team that was known to be interested in him, but Real Madrid's kind of been the team I've heard the most and kind of the thing that I've heard, but this makes sense, frankly.
No, it
does. He should be able to get out of his contract. It would be unfair to him, frankly, if he couldn't.
Well, isn't he a free agent? The Cavs didn't pick up his option.
Yeah, but I don't think like his contract is technically expired yet because of the situation.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
He needs to, like, it's just a formality, it seems like. And there's probably like some math stuff the Cavs have to consider in that, but yeah.
Do you think the Cavs had asked back for like the couple hundred thousand that he
that would be really shitty if they did it, frankly.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I don't even know, like, I can't actually can't even get a straight answer right now on how, like, some of the payment stuff works like that. I don't know.
Oh no, they're super cryptic, because you and I both have been trying to finagle and figure that out, and I was told that they're paid every 2 weeks, and that the team is being their money is fully guaranteed. And when I asked about, you know, the French clause, I just don't want to butcher it today. I'm not in the mood. So it wasn't asked if they're enacting it. But yeah, no, it'd be really shitty if the Cavs try to ask for the 100 grand or so back, or however much Ante is going to be needing to pony up at this point when he leaves the Cavs. But I mean, he could time it out to when the NBA season technically ends and then join Real Madrid and Maccabi Tel Aviv just midway. I'm sure he's staying in shape. I think he's just overseas at this point, like Jetty Osman is. I haven't really been keeping up much with him. Much like, I don't know, what the Cavs haven't, period. But no, it makes sense. It's for the best for Ante. Like, maybe just get a fresh start and maybe regain confidence in his game, because he was buried on Cleveland's bench from the moment he got here. I know he got a little bit of burn when the Cavs needed help at the center position with LeBron's last year, and then we thought last year, with the Cavs undergoing a youth movement after they fired Ty Lue, we'd see more of him. Not really. And we thought maybe with John Boeheim, there's always those teaser pieces about how John Boeheim was going to embrace these young players, and Ante wasn't one of those young players. He had to fight his way into the foundation of the team, and at 23 years old, wasn't viewed as a long-term piece. And yeah, Ante's just a dinosaur. He is a traditional big man who is slow and plodding, and probably works better for the Euro game. I'm sure he'll dominate there and probably carve out a really nice career. And always a nice guy in the locker room. Didn't like to talk to the media, which I get, but always valued and respected our time whenever we did have to talk to him. So, wishing the best. Yeah,
was a regular at a great place in Willoughby. That's the most I was ever able to learn about Andre's. Ante's is just off-court.
Dignified.
Kind of preferences.
He was dignified.
Yes. The other news is that Dylan Windler told Chris Feudor of Cleveland.com in a very, very long article that he is healthy. If there was to be some kind of second bubble, which we know could be announced like Monday, and you and I both are very sure is being discussed at a very detailed level.
Oh, I'm more than certain it's going to be announced, not Monday, but early this week. They're finalizing the host cities, and from what I gathered, it's kind of just like the Midwest teams are going to gang up, and then like the tertiary or auxiliary teams that are just kind of on the cusp of the Midwest will kind of do their own thing somewhere else. But yeah, college campuses are being explored. I do know that much.
Yeah, and there's also the, like, I know that not every player was aware of this when the story first got out there.
That was a funny reaction when you shared that with me.
Yeah, and that happens. Like, I understand that that's going to happen. I don't think that's like a failing of the NBAPA or like the Cavs or something like that. I think it's just like a process of communication being weird.
Plus you've been off work since March. I don't think you'd be regularly checking your phone, so you're just going to be chilling and enjoying your time off.
Yeah, there's just some weirdness with that. Obviously, I think the bubble itself probably takes preference, and like the communication out to those guys is probably a little different. The logistics of the travel will just be really interesting for the Cavs. It's really Jetty that I would just most wonder, like, what happens with that
coming back.
There's exemptions. There have been like exemptions for professional athletes to come into the country. That is like a thing.
I know, but
Let's talk about Dylan Windler. You and I have too many tangents. We have a lot to cover here. Yeah. Basically, he's healthy. He wants to play. Said as much that he pushed himself too hard last summer, John Boeheim, which has been kind of a reported thing out there for a while. Any kind of takeaways from what Windler said? Anything that popped out to you there?
Well, I've kind of known this for a while. I know he's been in good health, good spirits, working on his Fortnite game, fishing with the boys and everything else. The boys being Darius Garland, Kevin Porter Jr., Dean Wade. Dylan Windler's just a nice guy, good kid. I mean, he's closer in age to us than any of the other young players in the Cavs roster, Chris. I don't know, calling him a kid is super fair, but yeah, he suffered setbacks, was super frustrated, super down about it the entire time, but I think this is going about the right way, and boy, oh boy, John Boeheim becomes a bigger and bigger mistake as time passes, because Dylan was viewed as a key piece to this Cavs rotation. He was viewed as a piece the team needed last year, and hopefully he is in full health, and hopefully these injuries didn't set him back too far, and we can still see a very solid player who, mind you, compared himself to Joe Ingles to me when I interviewed him, when I asked him his introduction to his rookie year in Cleveland. So hopefully we get a little bit of that.
If you get Joe Ingles out of Dylan Wilner, that's like a really, really good outcome.
Oh yeah, no, that's like high peak scenario. I mean, he does have potential as a playmaker. He's a competent defender. He rebounded like crazy at the collegiate level, which according to Trevor Magnotti is like maybe it's some of its the system that they ran in college that he was in, but also like you can't ignore the fact that he was such a good rebounder. Like that's a good thing. Like Dylan Wilner has two-way potential. I think more so offensively we're going to see more of it, but I'm excited to see him as a player, and was sad and disheartened to not be able to watch him be the third piece for that Cavs rookie class last year.
Yeah, glad for him. Read the article. Again, it's really long. But check it out. It's really freaking long. Get an editor. Just editors are your friend. But Evan, the next time we're going to talk about versatility. But before we do that, I want to tell everyone about a sponsor on today's show, and that is CBDM. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or if you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through a day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy roller or shareable squeeze tube, and then CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need when it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBD MD has to offer, they're offering our listeners 25% off your next order. Wow, when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Go check them out and support them for supporting us. Be right back talking about versatility here in a sec. All right, Evan. When I say versatility in context of the Cleveland Cavaliers, what is your reaction?
Well, and not in context of the Cleveland Cavaliers, I do think of CBDMD and their versatility of CBD products. But in terms of the Cavaliers, LeBron James is the first thing I think of because, you know, he is synonymous with this Cavs squad. But on this current roster, Larry Nance Jr., he is a jack-of-all-trades, master of none at this point. A very pleasant surprise with his growth. I always thought him saying he was going to add a three-point shot to his game was a load, but he's more than proved me wrong at this point, and he is the most versatile player on Cleveland's roster at the moment, but there is potential for other players. What about you, Chris? What do you first think of with versatility?
The LeBron thing is smart, because Jonathan Sharks, I linked this in the piece that I wrote, but he wrote a really, really good piece about LeBron unlocking versatility and the Cavs being able to flip between different styles of play. But when I think about it with the Cavs, Nance is arguably the most versatile player on the team defensively. Offensively, he's getting there, I think, a little bit more than he was. Looking through some of the data from B-Ball Index, we're partnering with them. I'm very excited about getting a closer look at their data. The Cavs don't have a lot of versatile guys.
No.
Kevin Porter Jr. has rates out as defending guys at different positions and taking on different defensive roles as a B, which is actually pretty good, but he fouls so much.
Oh, yeah.
He just isn't there all the way yet. And Jetty has that a little bit. He gets a B and an A and A minus in those categories. But I just on the eye test, I don't think that guy has defended bigger wings or fours at a high level, and that kind of limits how versatile he is. I think if we see him defending twos and threes more, or defending smaller fours, kind of like, or if he adds size or something, just a little bit of muscle, I think that would kind of help unlock that a little bit. And there are other ways to define this too, but I think the Cavs just aren't versatile enough, and I don't think at the DNA of the team as it exists right now, I don't think we've seen. I think some of what I'm about to say is probably a little unfair because, like, this is such a young team and they've had all the head coaching issues and coronavirus halted the season. I don't think they've embraced versatility enough yet. I think they're getting there, but I don't think they're all the way there in the way you'd want yet. Some of that is because, like, they don't have a guy that kind of allows you to unlock versatility. They don't have guys that have developed those skill sets yet, but they also kind of have some specialist types. Like Andre Drummond, I would define as more of a specialist. I think Kevin Love, frankly, is kind of more of a specialist. Colin Sexton has a little bit of specialistness in his game as well, although I think there is ways he could become more versatile in, not defensively, but offensively. And frankly, I think the Cavs schemes have not been the most versatile schemes in the past as well. But I just think the next step for them is making life easier on themselves, and becoming more versatile is going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I think the Kevin Porter one has potential. I think you can lump in Colin Sexton as a player who has potential to be versatile as both a scoring guard in terms of slashing and as a perimeter threat, and also just as a playmaker. He was showing an ability to move the ball, much to our pleasure, when J.B. Bickerstaff took over, just kind of dumbed down the offense and didn't stick to those rudimentary BS sets that John Beilein would not let go of. I don't know if people were listening or if they had their headphones in, but I was chuckling when Chris was talking about Andre Drummond, because Andre Drummond views himself as a versatile player.
I'm not commenting on this anymore. I've done that enough.
I know, fair enough. It's a joke that it's the new joke I gotta write out until it gets really tired. Joker jokes will be back soon, folks. But I think that's the right direction for any NBA team. I think you and I, well, we really talked about this when we were opening up. Like, this is the quintessential backbone to most modern NBA teams at this point, is like, you have versatile wing defense, especially on the wing. Like, versatile wing defenders and offensive players, like, really works. Like, you can get really cute with it like the Rockets do and put PJ Tucker at center, but the Rockets are a good example of surrounding James Harden with versatile wing defenders such as PJ Tucker. I mean, Robert Covington was a great move for them, but they don't have a center still, so don't know what the Rockets are really doing. But like, that's a good thing. Like, you have Jaylen Brown, who has really blossomed. I think he's a player who has potential, who blossomed to a really solid, versatile player where he's really good on defense. He's solid offensively. And what I thought was going to be one of the worst contracts in the NBA, I'm gladly eating crow on, because Jaylen Brown is worth every penny the Celtics are paying him. You know, the Cavs are still on a quest to find a player like that, and I have my reservations that this draft class has somebody like that. I think maybe Devin Vassell has some potential like that. But other than that, I haven't really done my due diligence in terms of versatility. For everyone listening, since we are doing a series on Fear the Sword about this, be sure to check out what Trevor's going to write about this, of course. But that's always the right direction for the Cavs. Like, they need players that can fill different niches and different roles. So, like, it's like the ebb and flow. Like you said, like, LeBron could set the tone for different offensive and defensive situations and rotations. And the Cavs kind of need to reestablish that instead of just grabbing players that could score really well.
Yes. I think every player, like, obviously does more than one thing, but it's about doing them well. And I think, like, if they the era of specialists is just a little trickier, and it's harder, I think, to do when you don't have, like, a guy. And even, like, if you want to look at the offensive side of this, like, I wrote about the Mavs as an example. This is a team that has their offensive rating coming to the bubble was, like, the best in NBA history. Luka Doncic and their kind of motion, like, just crushes a lot of teams. It crushed the Cavs this year when these teams played. But you saw that, like, when the game slowed down and they got fatigued, and Luka is just better with screeners and kind of that motion right now than he is in ISO. Like, their offense just cratered and they lost. You need singular greatness, but you also need options for your team, I think.
Yeah.
The Cavs, I think, like, could learn a lot from you and I, like, have a love affair with Kenny Atkinson a little bit. Like, they need to adopt some of that and give different looks and kind of create options and motions and things to kind of keep things moving and make things harder and give players options to do stuff. Like, I thought, you know, I think some of this is, again, just product of circumstances, but it never felt like the Cavs offense, like, really was operating in a functional way last year. This is a team.
No, it's clunky.
Yes, and then defensively, like, this is a team that runs a lot of drop coverage with their bigs. The bigs they play a pretty conservative style. That was one of the things JB did when he came in, was really kind of dial things back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that's bad. I think it fits the personnel pretty well, but I think you need to kind of figure something out and have more versatile guys to switch when you need to and adapt a little bit more, because, look, they had a bottom five historically bad defense.
I mean, some of that can be attributed to young guys, especially Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, but there's plenty of other bad as well.
Where would you, before we take another kind of pause here, what would you say, where does versatility rank on your, like, list of Cavs needs?
See, this is tough because the Cavs have so many needs, period, but if you really want to build a solid foundation, and you asked me this question, I think, a few days ago, and I've really been chewing the fat on it for a while now, I'd rank it high up there. Like, 3-point shooting is a big need for the Cavs. defense is, of course, especially perimeter defense, is always going to be a huge need for this Cavaliers squad. But no, I think I put versatility towards the top. I mean, I wouldn't give it a definitive ranking, but it's a foundational and necessity to build a smart, competent basketball team, and that's where I have it. What about you?
I think it's massive. I think like high end talent's going to kind of be number one.
Yeah.
But I think not from this might be two or three.
I think that's a fair. See, that's what I was thinking, like two or three, but I didn't want to open a can of worms and start disagreeing with you because we gotta focus on the time length here. But yeah, no, I think two or three is a fair spot to put it at. Like, talent overall is obviously the biggest need for this Cavs team, but versatile talent, that'd be pretty cool too.
Yes. All right, let's take one quick break here and come back for something else. But Evan, you have something to tell us too.
Oh, I certainly do. For those of you who are listening from the beginning, I've been having some car trouble today. We're recording this on a Sunday, but I've been having it lately and with my evaporator core in my AC system. And you know who really helped me out with that, Chris, and helped slash the price on a very expensive procedure?
Our good friends at Rock Auto.
Yeah, our best pals at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks at rockauto.com delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? I mean, for real, why would you do that? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And with that, we'll be right back to talk more about versatility. All right, Evan, versatility, where do you want to take this conversation? I kind of led it last time. Where do you want to go from now?
Let's talk about the draft. I want to hear your thoughts because I feel like you're more well-versed in this than I am.
Well, that's not true. I wouldn't say that's true, but okay.
Do you think there's an option in this draft for the Cavs? I mean, the lowest their pick can go is 6, and I think that's Devin Vassell territory, but there's so many polarizing prospects at the top 10, I want to say, of this draft class. That I don't really know if there's a versatile guy, quote-unquote versatile guy, in there that the Cavs can target, and I think that's where they have to kind of head towards free agency and hope they land somebody. Don't you agree?
I guess I just don't think a free agency is an option because I don't think they're going to have a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, no. I mean,
even with the mid-level exception, like, we don't really know how much teams are going to want to spend amid what's going on in the world right now. That is a mega unknown that we just can't quantify yet.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's just, it is a bit of an unknown, so maybe the draft is the best way to approach it. But then again, because you can get cheap talent, it's cost-controlled at least in terms of rookie scale contracts. Mm-hmm. But there's not really options here.
Well, I haven't seen Trevor's piece yet, so I'll be curious to see what he has to say. Can't wait. Hopefully we get that Monday. I would say Killian Hayes strikes me as versatile.
Yeah, I guess
Tyrese Halliburton is not a Cavs option, but his wingspan would indicate to me that there's a lot of defensive versatility there.
How many steals per game did he average?
I have no idea.
I'm pulling it up now.
Vassell.
Yeah, Devin Vassell.
I think Denny Avdija has that potential, has the frame for it, at least at 6'9".
Wow.
And LaMelo Ball, too, because LaMelo Ball, I know that our friend Jackson Frank, when he was on here, kind of the defensive potential isn't quite what you'd want it to be, it seems like, but the frame makes him, like, positionally really interesting for me, versatility-wise. Like, you can do some weird stuff with him. Like, it's one of the bummers of the Sixers for me. It's that, like, Ben Simmons is this truly a unicorn, and, like, he's just not used in a way fully that, like, emphasize the fact that he's like a 6'10 dude that can actually pass the ball really, really well. You know, like, I think there are guys in this draft, and frankly, because of my basketball biases, those are the guys I kind of prefer, frankly.
I agree with that. Other than LaMelo Ball, I'm starting to step back a little bit from him as a prospect. There are some glaring concerns where, I forget who I was talking to, but they said, yeah, no, LaMelo Ball puts together a really cool, sick highlight package, but if you look at the full picture, there are some glaring concerns. But first off, Tyrese Halliburton averaged 2.5 steals per game for the Iowa State Cyclones, which is pretty good. But just the reason I ask is because Trevor always says, like, if a player averages a bunch of steals in college, it usually means they have really good defensive potential going into the NBA, which I think is a very, and he's like, it's worked for many, many years at this point. So I've been looking at that as a indicating factor. So I think those are all good guys. I'd include Onyeka Okongwu in that list as well. I mean,
yes,
he has a lot of offense. He's coming into the NBA, he's going to be like a rim runner, kind of like a Clint Capela kind of thing, but he has shown potential to a bit as a three-point shooter. He shot 25% his freshman year at USC, and if you got him in a Cleveland system, I have full faith and ability and belief in their coaching staff that they're able to develop him into a stretch big at that point, which would be amazing. Could kind of remind me more, maybe, I know you hate player comps, but I'm just gonna freewheel him off here, Miles Turner a little bit there, which would be a fun get for the Cavs. Miles Turner is such a fun player too in terms of two-way potential, just thinking about that right now. But no, there's not really a lot. Devin Vassell as well, like, that guy, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I think Devin Vassell is also the safest pick for this Cavs team. And like, the player, like, if you don't want to go big, you just want to go smart, you just take Devin Vassell and you don't look back. Like, I don't care what position you are in the draft, but I think the draft is going to be a good option, because like you said, the Cavs do have the MLE, but this pandemic's really screwed up the whole free agency processes here, and I don't know who really ideally they could target. Like, there are options, and I am writing a piece for this on Fear the Sword, and I haven't really sat down and like thought about it, but
and you claimed it, so you can't even get mad at me for giving that to you.
No, you did ask me, and I didn't want to I maybe got a little bit of stage fright and didn't want to go out early in the week, but I'm just like thinking, like, this free agency class is so blah, and some of the top players in it are so blah and polarizing, and like, since Andre Drummond's accepting his player option or picking up his player option, it just removes him from the game to begin with. So you make a good point. I think the draft is like a good way to go about it, and maybe there are some prospects now that we've really kind of just did a quick breakdown of them, but I don't think the Cavs are going to address it this offseason.
No, and well, I think it's really a bet on potential. Like, I think Kevin Porter Jr. could have a lot to say about this. Laron Ant, I think, is just kind of a very versatile piece and a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy that I think is useful. Maybe Dylan Windler pops and is more like Joe Ingles than, like, I would sort of guess he ends up being. Like, there are things that could happen that could change this.
Oh, dude.
You know, and I guess the other thing that I think is notable about this I think Isaac Okoro is the guy that we know the Cavs like, and I think his frame and his strength would indicate that maybe he's like your option to like maybe defend bigger guys. Like, I'm not, he's not OG Anunoby, but like that strength is like a really key part of that. And I think if you could get a guy like that, the Cavs don't have anyone who's bulky like that. It's one of the reasons why, like, thinking about it and watching him a little bit, like, I almost wonder how much better I'd feel about them. And this is no shade to Dylan Windler, but if they had Grant Williams and Kevin Porter Jr. instead of,
oh my God,
Dylan Windler and Kevin Porter Jr.
I wanted Grant Williams so bad last year.
Grant Williams is like, I love that guy.
I had such a crush on him and Brandon Clark as like late round options for the Cavs. And I mean, both were off the table by the time they picked 26, but still, it's just, man, what could have been?
So I just wonder if like they had him as kind of that kind of guy, if things would be a little more interesting in that sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely would be. I wonder. Well, the problem is, this was basically a full blown off season for the Celtics, and these young guys are all looking really good under the bubble now. Grant Williams, Romeo Langford, and I mean obviously Brandon Clark. Like, Brandon Clark's just a stud. Like, good call on Trevor's part. Like, for getting that, the crush in my head, and just watching him slip away to a very fun Memphis squad. But before the bubble, maybe you could like talk Danny Ainge into somehow trying to fleece the Cavs to get Grant Williams. Grant Williams would be a lot of fun on this team, especially if when they're trying to move on from Kevin Love and maybe you promote Larry Nance Jr. to the starting four for the time being. Like, Grant Williams slots in beautifully as like a backup four for this Cavs squad, and like, I'd love him. I'd love him on this team.
I get the shooting desire of Windler, but Grant Williams would have been like a bomb pick at that same spot, because I believe he was available. I'm going to double check myself before we get out
of here. He was selected 22nd. So the dream was dead when he got picked by the Celtics. I'm like, great. Okay, the Celtics got a really good player.
Yeah, the Celtics actually
they draft very well.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, but like sometimes they can get those guys, or they can get a guy that they can convince Michael Jordan is worth lowballing Kemba Walker over than sign and trading him over. Like, you can get some options there. But I'm looking around at 26, like,
Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Grant Williams is just like the modern wing palooza in a way that is just incredible.
Absolutely. But in terms of Dylan Windler, it was Mafondo Cabangeli from Florida State. Then you had Jordan Poole, Kelton Johnson, and then Kevin Porter Jr., which, bless up to our guy KPJ, is the most versatile player in this draft class. Just saying, because he's a Cavalier.
Just also thank you to the Detroit Pistons if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers and for just taking that nice cash payment.
Yeah, no. It's like the Suns taking cash for in that trade for.
Well, the Suns are the cheapest team in the world.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. Thank God the Cavs.
They sold their G League team.
Yeah, they sold their G League team to the Pistons, who already had a G League team, who is now going. Yeah,
that is not like the biggest NBA story that is not being talked about enough right now. That is frankly the China story that came out last week.
Yeah, no, that got sold. Let's not get blocked by the Chinese government here, Chris. I don't want death threats.
But Robert Sarver. Wow.
Yeah, Robert. Thank God, Dan Gilbert isn't Robert Sarver. That's all I can say.
Dan Gilbert, very, very rich.
People complain about Dan Gilbert as an owner for the Cavs. Like, I get it. Sometimes he does some kooky stuff and gets medals with the team too much. Robert Sarver and James Dolan, those are always just going to be there's just those two. Like, thank God neither of them.
Yeah, I also just want to wrap up on this, mention this. The Cavs are also going to work with the city and turn Quiklunes Arena into a polling place.
That's smart.
Excellent.
That's really smart. That's excellent. Very good on the Cavaliers organization to do that, and the Cavaliers group. It's a wide net at this point, but before we go, our girl Sabrina Ionescu, she's out for the next month. Chris,
how many Liberty games did you watch before she got hurt?
I watched the one she got hurt in. I was watching that, no. And then I watched her date. I watched the one where I texted you. I'm like, wow, she put up some big numbers. I watched that one.
She put up like the Kobe stat line.
Yeah.
In the second game, which is just wild.
She needs to get some help ASAP. Like, God,
that team is real. I'm not even kidding you when I have Googled 2021 NBA mock drafts.
They're gonna be fun, and you know what? That's a good thing. There's actually some good basketball in New York, like the Manhattan part of New York, not Brooklyn. Brooklyn's its own separate.
No, they play in Brooklyn now. They play at the Barclays Center.
Oh,
and they're part owned by the same guy, Joe Tsai, who owns the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, well, Brooklyn is gonna take over New York then. The Knicks are an afterthought. It's Liberty and Nets time, baby. Let's do it. I think that's a good starting point for us.
It is. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back this week with more Under the Bubble, and we have some very fun guests lined up, and the book club coming up on Friday, so stay tuned for all of that, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon, and Evan, send everyone out here.
Go Cavs, wear a mask. If you broke into my car, I am really disappointed in you right now.
Very, very disappointed. Talk to you soon.